Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, Have Your Say, and Yarn Up Strong. Now, AEU and UTS Centre for Indigenous People to collaborate on new bargaining agreement addressing undervaluation of cultural skills. The UTS Centre for Indigenous People and Work, the CIPW, and Australian Education Union, AEU, have joined forces to address the historical contemporary challenges faced by Indigenous employment. With that, we're going to catch up with Professor Noreen Young, Director of the UTS Centre for Indigenous People and Work. On the line, Professor Noreen, good morning. How are you?
And good morning to you. I'm very well, brother.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. My sister, before we start, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please?
I'm a Fowler from the inner city Sydney area of Sydney.
Yes.
Or what's now known as the inner city Sydney area of Sydney.
All right, beautiful. Big shout out to you, Mob. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, when we're talking about joint ventures, sometimes it becomes a team effort, getting the right people at the table, the right organisations, company, to move forward and close gaps, you could say, Professor Noreen.
You could, and we've got a really good collaboration. So the CIPW, the Centre for Indigenous People and Work, is part of University Technology Sydney, and we're jointly run a joint venture of the Jumbunna Institute, which will be known to everybody, the institute run by and started by distinguished Professor Larissa Berendt.
Yes.
And that's our Indigenous Institute within UTS, but our joint venture is with the UTS Business School, and that's the Centre for Indigenous People and Work. So that's exciting. But with this particular collaboration, we're working with the Australian Education Union because they have so many members working in the education sector.
Yes.
And everybody knows so many of our people do work in either schools or preschool.
So. Sure. And it's given them a platform for support and also an opportunity to employ other First Nation people, is what we're talking about here?
Well, we know that the education sector does employ lots of First Nations people.
Mm.
It could always employ more, but
yes.
Also we need to start talking about the quality of work.
Sure.
So our people work, and we work where we always have, and we always will, and we always participate where we can, where we're not locked out of the employment market.
Yes.
We've got to move away from this narrative that it's somehow our fault when we can't get work, because
exactly.
It's not, and we've got to move away from this narrative that it's about bums on seats. It is
sure.
About making sure that we can work, but it's also about quality work. And
yes.
The thing is that we know through our data at the Centre for Indigenous People and Work that our people are, and we all know,
yes.
But it's good to have it backed up by research, that our people undergo significant racism
yes.
In workplaces, like everywhere else, but racisms are just really microcosms of society. And we also know that in the industrial system, when wages have been set, the cultural skills that we bring have been undervalued.
Yeah,
so we
sure.
are
yep.
working with the Australian Education Union on those two things.
Yep. And you mentioned the word, the R word, racism, you know, that's got to be stamped out. And also I'm thinking the word tokenism. Can't we just
yeah.
tick in a box, so to speak,
yeah.
as you said, qualified yeah. black people for qualified positions and accountable to employ them at that level?
Absolutely. And provide quality work
yes.
and provide career paths and provide all the things that are important. We're not just there to fill quotas
for
tokenism. We're there to do an amazing job because that's what we do.
And here we are, the 21st century, 2026, and it's sad that we are still tackling this at this day and age in a first world country like Australia, the big island, you know?
It's absolutely tragic. So the more work that we can do around these topics, the better.
Yep. Fantastic. Professor, in what field, please, my sister, Noreen?
Well, this is in the education sector.
Okay.
So specifically working with the Australian Education and with their peak Indigenous body.
Yes.
In the education sector. So this is limited to the education sector at this stage.
Sure.
But obviously we'd be wanting other unions to take this up as time goes on.
Lovely. Exactly. Create the vehicle, so to speak, so we can all jump on board and drive it into the future. What about the opportunity of having our people who are qualified, or if not, potentials to get more qualifications? Does that come into play, Professor?
Well, certainly when you talk about skills in any kind of structured way of looking at wages, and that's what awards and agreements are, as you know, absolutely. We have to, our people need to have access to as many skills and qualifications as possible. And but we bring inherent skills, like skills we just have, which are cultural skills, and they need to be valued too.
Exactly. So true, so true. So, look, beginning is half done. Moving forward, that's what it's all about. Creating the vision and turning into reality. Thank you for your yarn. It is a team effort. And we will yarn soon, Professor Noreen. Thank you, sister.
Absolute pleasure, my brother.
And you have a great day. And all the best for 2026, sis.
You too, brother.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Beautiful yarn. There it is, Professor Noreen Young, Director of the UTS Centre for Indigenous People and Work. This groundbreaking partnership, supported by Maurice Blackburn Lawyers, aimed to develop a leading practice bargaining framework to support the AEU's anti-racism campaign. The collaboration builds on these organisations' long-standing leadership in Indigenous employment reform. The framework will embed anti-racism measures within industrial and professional conditions, recognising safe, respectful, inclusive workplaces are fundamental employment rights. So, look, fantastic team effort. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. We're live at the First National Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
Life is like, like a river. You only reap what you sow. I hope it's good and what you give her in return for what you grow. Oh, I'm going down.
Today.
I'm jumping in the water.
Down,
down the river today.
To the river today. feel like, oh, like a river. You only reap how I do so. I hope it's good how what you give her in return for what you grow. I'm going down the river today. I'm jumping in the water. Wash my sins away. I listen to a story from long ago. I'm jumping in the water. Wash my soul in the river's flow. I'm jumping in the water. Wash my soul in that river's flow.
Hey, which way you mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Yendaba napi bamada. Yendaba kachana bamada. Yendaba gadan. Yendaba listen.
Baby, baby. Listen up. Your little ones can come to free kindy at Child's World. That's right, you can get 15 hours of free kindy every week for 40 weeks each year. With free meals, free bus pickup and drop-off, swimming lessons, dance and PE classes, and deadly excursions. All at no cost to you. And here's the golden bit. As well as free kindy, every Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child gets 100 hours of subsidised care every fortnight. There's no activity test, whether you're working, studying, or just kicking back. And there's no extra paperwork. It's dead easy. Give your little ones the best start in a place where they'll learn, grow, and shine. Ring Child's World today on 07-4045-4045. It's free for our moms.
Station sponsor.
See you at Child's World.
Time to Vax Mob. From little ones to elders, vaccinations help keep our families strong and healthy. Bootropin makes it easy. Vaccinations are available from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day except Thursdays at Coral K in Manura. And on Thursdays only, you'll find us at Emmerton Clinic. No fuss, no stress, just good health for you and your family. It's time to Vax with Bootropin Health Service, keeping generations growing strong.
Station sponsor. love. It's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. The new data highlights the shocking impact of costly and ineffective of tough-on-crime policies on First Nations people. New data released by the Productivity Commission as part of the annual report on government services shows that Australia's over-reliance and on incarceration is costly, ineffective and disproportionately impacting First Nation Australians, while evidence-based alternatives continue to be underfunded. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Simone Griswold, Jesuit Social Services, Executive Director of the Justice Project. On the line, Simone, good morning, sister. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you going?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please?
Yeah, I'm a Torres Strait Islander woman, Oahu, and I've got family connections up to Saibai, and I'm based here on Wurundjeri country in Melbourne.
Melbourne, beautiful. Thank you very much for coming to the program. My idea of what incarceration, I believe it costs like something like $100,000 to $150,000 to have a person incarcerated for a year. So when you look at that sort of money, that could be good money going to that individual to help them in regard to a vision of their future and a better life. It's a waste of money, I would feel. So please enlighten us about the work that you do and the so-called process.
Yeah, absolutely. So the cost of incarceration, as you mentioned, is, up around that $100,000 to $150,000 per person per year. Mm. It's even higher in the youth justice space. Yes. And what we see for the outcomes, there are more effective ways to achieve justice than relying on the prison system, which doesn't necessarily rehabilitate people, and it most certainly doesn't restore the harm that's being caused.
Well, it creates a roving door, doesn't it? In and out, in and out, in and out.
Absolutely. And where we see this the most is with our First Nations population. Mm. Extremely high recidivism rates. And these policies that really target, harsh criminal policies, that really target First Peoples, the impact on that is quite significant because it's not just on the individual, it's on their family and their community.
Exactly. Snowball effect, snowball effect, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we know there's a plethora of evidence, both locally and internationally, that points to what works, which is addressing the drivers of crime and offending.
Yes.
And why and social disadvantage as well, addressing the drivers of that. So things like, investment in education, supporting families, intervening earlier, these are all great opportunities to invest more money for a much better outcome.
Yeah,
for
sure.
You do that, then you don't need the prison system as much as our states and territories are relying on it at the moment.
Well, exactly. And we're talking about taxpayers' money here, building more prison cells and detention centres. To me, it's a waste of money, Let's put the money into the individual or spaces where we can empower, educate, support the process and the thought process and a vision for an individual's future, you could say. There'd be more money invested in that way.
Yeah, there would be more money to address those social drivers of offending behaviour, but also to create safer communities and for First Peoples to have some self-determination in terms of what their communities actually need.
Mm.
So what we find is with policies like this that increasingly rely on the prison system, so you rapidly expand prisons, they lead to overcrowded prison environments, which are then less safe, and they do not effectively support rehabilitation nor improve community safety. And so you've invested $150,000 for a year for no better outcome. In fact, the person is actually worse when they return to their community.
Well, if you look at all prisoners, so to speak, they're all in a jail, And the old saying, if you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. And if each individual's thought process is not changing, they only know what they know. And so you're virtually associating with who you're associating with the same mentality and no growth process and what have you. There's no room or no space for education or looking up and looking to a brighter future.
Absolutely. And you look at the cost of imprisonment, the financial cost, let alone the human cost. But
yes,
nationwide, we spend $5.4 billion just on prisons.
Mm.
And this has increased quite significantly from $3.6 billion in 2015 to 2016. Mm. So it's this massive investment and it's not producing any better outcomes. And what the evidence also shows is when you incarcerate more Aboriginal people,
yes,
the risk of deaths in custody also increases.
That's right, exactly. And that's another gap that needs to be closed as well, the death in custody. Black deaths here, I think there's over about 500 black deaths in custody, and there's been no charges to any officers in that situation.
That's right, yeah. So it's very dire. It's a very dire situation for First Peoples in this country when you look at both the rate of imprisonment and re-imprisonment, but then also what could potentially happen in those unsafe environments that have been created through these policies that create overcrowding.
So, right, to our Deadly listeners just tuned in, Trevor Timmy at Trinity Trevor National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with Simone Griswood, Jesuit Social Services, Executive Director of the Justice Project. With the new data highlighting the shocking impact of costly, ineffective, or tough on-client policies on First Nations people. With this new data, Simone, what do we do with this data? Do we take it to the government in regarding hopefully changing their ideas of where they spend money or setting up other programs? There are programs out there that work. Maybe invest more money into those sort of programs. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we need is evidence-based policy, not policy that's written on the fly in relation to headlines in sensational, you know, newspapers.
That's right.
When we do early intervention and invest in that and have, you know, proper diversion initiatives that are appropriately funded, then the outcome is you don't need to rely on the prison system so much.
Exactly.
And, yeah, we see this significantly as an issue for First Peoples and for, you know, First People's children and young people, the outcome is pretty harsh.
Sure. So this information, this data, the report that reveals impact, shocking impact of foul, tough on crime policies for First Nation people, who do we take this information to? What minister and how can we push on it? How can we get a different platform or a different vehicle driving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. There's an opportunity here for the federal government to lead a national rights-based reform agenda.
Yes.
So, you know, a 10-year national youth justice strategy, for example, could be one way. Enforceable national youth justice standards aligned to UN child rights.
Yes.
Raising the age of criminal responsibility to 14. These are all tangible things that the federal government could do.
Mm-hmm.
But also what's really troubling, I think, with this current political climate and tough on crime environment is at the moment we've had a few jurisdictions renege on our obligations to use imprisonment as a sanction of last resort for children and young people.
Yes.
So more of that rights focused, and so absolutely we should be taking this to the federal government, to the Attorney General, to Prime Minister. This is quite significant.
Well, we're talking big money, as you mentioned, billions of dollars into this correctional system, so to speak, which is not working. And in regards to the plan or vision, what have you, black people need to be at the table in the discussions, yes?
Absolutely. This, you know, First Nations people need to be at the table making and driving these decisions.
Yes.
And, you know, at the state and territory level, if we address the drivers of harm, things like addressing trauma, racism, poverty and unmet needs. If we do that through a first person's lens,
yes,
we have that cultural overlay that we need.
Exactly.
In addition, if we shift investment to prevention, early intervention and diversion with that trauma-informed, culturally safe practice, we're likely to get better outcomes.
Exactly.
And if state and territory governments ensure that rights are compliant with, you know, bail, detention, workforce practices,
yep,
again, we would see better outcomes, safer. If people had to be in prison, the environments would be safer. But most importantly, we really need to raise the age of criminal responsibility and invest in non-carceral alternatives.
Yeah. Look, thank you for your yarn. Very important. The data's there it is. The proof's in the pudding, so to speak. Need to massage this conversation nationally and through government and through black people. But Simone, thank you for your yarn, your conversation. All the best to you and your team. And we'll yarn soon, my sister.
Great. Thanks, bros.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there, Simone Driftwood, her name is, Jesuit Social Services, Executive Director of the Justice Project, and new data released by the Productivity Commission as part of the annual report on government services shows that Australia's over-reliance on incarceration is costly, ineffective, and disproportionately impacting First Nations Australians, while evidence-based alternatives continue to be underfunded. We need to look at those underfunded alternative evidence-based situation programs, businesses, what have you, and they'd be at the table, front and centre. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, with your daily program, National Talk Black. Your host, the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20, Trevor Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong here. Next segment, you've got Which Way Yarny with Edmonton Police. And we've got Senior Sergeant Len Delay, an actual fact, acting inspector, he's doing at the moment. We'll talk about that. And also have his bodyguard. We've got Police Liaison Officer and this Stephen Grant. And a very good morning to you both. How are we, gents?
Welcome back, Trevor.
2026. Now, are we on there? Just checking there.
Yep.
Senior Sergeant Len Delay, are you on there?
I'm there.
Are you there? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there. Got you. All right. Start with you, Steve. Who you mob? Where you from, brother?
Yeah, Trev. I'm proud Jitterbug Gittermain boy. Footprints in the Mission Beach Cardwell area and a little town called Tully, the wettest town
in Australia. Big country.
That's Thank correct. You very much, brother. Exactly.
Len, of course, Senior Sergeant Len Delay, Atherton boy, and commutes down to Edmonton Police Station. Senior Sergeant there at the office, but you're acting inspector at Cairns office at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Explain that first.
Yeah, oh, look, our inspector's taking a bit of leave, so I'll get my chain pulled and I'm sitting in his seat for the minute. And,
there you go.
Yeah, looking after the Country Eastern Patrol Group.
And how long are you in that seat for, acting?
It's going to be another week.
Another week?
Yeah.
All right, beautiful.
Yep.
So how long has it been?
Been there for a fortnight now.
All right, fantastic. Oh, well, enjoy that journey. That's what it's all about. But you still make time for Which Way Yarning, coming to Bummer Bipper for Yarn on National Talk Black. And our topic today, Varick, which is Video Recorded Evidence in Chief. Explain what this is, and is it a great tool in regards to police work?
Yes, look. I'll start with what evidence in chief is, and that's the questioning in court of a witness just to establish a core of facts of a case. And that's usually when you're a victim of a matter and police take a written statement from you.
Yes.
And you're sitting up in front of the court getting questions asked of you of what you can recall of the event.
Okay.
That can be difficult in itself, just trying to recall what actually happened.
Exactly.
Sometimes months and years before.
Well, now we're talking video. So we're talking about police officers that wear cameras. Is that the videos we're talking about coming from those cameras?
That's right. So the video recorded evidence in chief is okay. on our body cameras. And look, previously that wasn't admissible in court, or it was, but mainly for our vulnerable people as children that would be able to give a video recorded evidence. So,
okay.
Look, some laws have changed. We've had a pilot.
So we weren't allowed to use these videos before,
correct.
This footage before, but now we can as the new laws have changed.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we've got we've had a pilot program on the Gold Coast and Ipswich Police Divisions from September 2022 for a year. That's been overviewed by and had an independent evaluation by the University of Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come out with some key benefits of video recording evidence in chief.
Well, I think it's a great tool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then it saves the victim, in a way, being interrogated again in court.
Ooh. Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, the emotion that they're running through and what has happened to that person, you know. Well, here's the video, and picture says a thousand things more than
That's right.
Wood.
Yes. So, look, it does. It can be fairly traumatising and stressful for the domestic violence complainant.
Okay.
And in that is them retelling their story several times, you know, obviously at the scene. Sometimes they get taken back to a police station prior to giving their statement.
Yes.
And then, of course, they've got to give their oral testimony, their evidence in chief at court. So now we've... If we obtain this evidence at the scene and we can take a...
It can be used now.
It can be used and we play it to the court.
Yep.
Mm. That doesn't mean they don't have to attend court. They still have to attend court.
They still have to attend.
Of course, defence have to...
But then they're sitting there as victims to watch the video. But then the culprit who did the crime is watching the video too, isn't it?
Yeah, look...
Whoever it is.
Absolutely. And look, sometimes they can be excluded from the court for whatever reasons if it's going to be too traumatic for the victim.
Mm.
But, you know, the real benefits are that it's played to the court. They don't have to recall that information. Look, we capture their demeanour at the time.
Mm.
Look, that's I think, quite important evidence for the court.
Of course.
Particularly with those domestic violence matters. Mm. It stops that.
It stops that
ability for the perpetrators to influence or coerce or intimidate people not to give the evidence at a later date. So we're capturing it at the time.
Well, exactly. And then the other side of the coin is when the victims are crying and all emotional, trying to explain the situation. The opposition could be saying it's all an act. But when you're looking at the footage, so to speak, it's traumatising.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're under that attack, you don't know if you're going to come out of this alive. Yeah, there's the emotion side of it.
Yeah, exactly. And look, and defence will probably argue that that's, something that they didn't want to see in court because, the reason it wasn't allowed in court previously is to ensure a fair trial. And so, you know, we're actually just talking to people after the fact. So certainly those emotions can influence.
But the video is the actual fact.
That's right.
If you look at it.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. We want.
And it saves a lot. It saves a lot of time when the victim has to record that if he or she's going through Police Link 131444.
Mm.
And obviously, as Glenn's just explained about the officers having those body-worn cameras.
Yeah, sure.
As evidence.
Yeah.
So look, this is Queensland. So I know you've got a far wider audience than just our Sunshine State.
Yep.
But look, what's important to understand?
Different rules apply in different states and territories, eh?
Correct.
Legislations.
When police arrive at these incidents now, they're going to actually ask you for consent to take this type of evidence. So you have to give your consent for police to give your evidence. On video recording.
Okay, radio.
You can withdraw that consent at any time.
Is that the victim or the culprit?
The victim.
The victim. Yep. Thank you. Okay,
so they're able to withdraw that consent at any time.
Yeah.
And they have to understand that recorded statement will be played in court as their evidence.
Mm. Yeah.
And like I've stated, they're still required to attend court because we do have to give the defence or the perpetrators' counsel the ability to cross-examine that evidence after that video evidence has been played.
Thank you. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, how long has videos been out? Worn videos from cameras worn out?
Look, I think
15 years?
Yeah. Look, I think I was playing around with our first sort of cameras back in 2011.
2011?
2010, they may have been around.
11, so what's that? 14 years? 15 years? Mm. Yeah. Shane, yeah. Thank you. Yep. So... And it takes like 15-odd years for them to sort of pass this as in to use the video. Because I'm thinking that's why the cameras are there, to protect, well, both the officer and, the constituents, the people.
And look, the reason for that is we've had some to jump some legal boundaries to allow that to happen. I know it's something that our police unions felt very strongly about in the past, that we wanted to get this evidence into the courts.
Sure.
I think it's going to be something very positive for our victims and our victims of domestic violence.
Well, I think so. And when we talk about, we talk about youth crime, which is pretty high, but when we talk about domestic violence, that's way higher again.
That's correct.
So there's a big, we have a big situation here in regard to domestic violence that we need to stamp out domestic violence, as well as youth crime and all the crimes, what have you. And the video now having it to be in court, so to speak, to help in regard to the court case, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's another tool, and it's going to be a you know, something fairly positive. We've got to remember this is only related to domestic violence.
So you can't use for anything else, stolen car or something like that.
Yeah, or assaults.
Or assaults on an officer or anything to that effect.
We're still limited to those paper statements but look, it's baby steps.
Hopefully okay, the courts there it is.
See something in the future and bring it right throughout all our offences.
All right, fantastic. Stephen Grant, so you are still wearing the hat you're wearing regarding police liaison officer recruitment. Is that the area you're working in?
Currently I'm doing the coordination state PLO coordinator.
Okay.
For another week or so, I believe.
Rightio. Then what happens after that?
I go back into my regular position, which is the First Nations recruiting team here in Queensland.
In Queensland. Yeah. All right, beautiful.
So I'd just like to give a bit of a shout-out to my members up in downtown sunny Brisbane there at Level 5, the First Nations Division, to the Golden Girls.
Yes, Golden Girls.
Yep.
Boys up there?
There's Uncle Adrian there, Deadly Murray, you know. But yeah. Maria, get well soon, and the other ladies. And a special birthday call-out to my colleague in Townsville, Rathara Abara.
Okay, Rathara.
Rathana. Yep.
Birthday.
Happy 50th today.
Yeah, there you go, girl.
So happy days ahead of you, and we look forward to catching up when you visit to Cairns.
Yeah, fantastic. Happy birthday. Well, good yarn with you, gentlemen. Thank you for the yarn there and the education on VREC, Video Recorded Evidence in Chief. Thank you very much, Senior Sergeant Linda Lai. You go back to acting. Yep.
Back to acting,
for another week, brother.
Yep. Doesn't sound
enjoy
very...
the journey. We say don't act, but you're acting. Steve, good to see you.
Yes,
you take care, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue. A big shout-out to Edmonton Police, and also a big shout-out to Perry's, IGA, who give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Chew on a banana or a mango rather than a Kit Kat. So there it is. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Trinity Trevor about to sign off.
Thank you. So you got to come along and let's celebrate and let's not see any pushing, shoving that's going on. But we gotta have a good vibration, yeah. Everywhere, come on, good vibration, good vibration, good vibration.